Ron Van Dam. He's got what the kids call mad skills, which he thought meant he was really good at being angry about everything. Well, live and learn. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you so much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program of enormous proportions. Look at the size of this thing. Hey, happy to have you here. You relax. I'll take it from here. You just be quiet. You be quiet. The consumption of alcohol during listening periods of this program is strongly recommended. It only enhances the show. Thank you for being here. Hey, you in the front row. What's in the bag? What's in the bag? Now, I don't mind that you brought the cookies with you. It's just that you're not sharing with anybody else. That's my problem with you. Besides many other factors that are thrown into that, but we'll go with the cookie thing. I'm still so angry with the cookie thing. Every time I go to a website, this is so crazy. Every time I go to a website, there's this little thing that pops up on the bottom of the screen. It's a pop-up thing, and it says, we use cookies. And it's like, I don't care what you do with them. Why are you telling me? I mean, I use sandwiches. What's your problem? Apparently, cookies in computer terms means things that I still don't understand what it means, but it has something to do with they collect information or data, so when you go back to the site, they've got stuff stored for you and all that kind of thing. I don't know what the cookie thing is, but it bothers me because why are you calling it cookies? There's absolutely no reason that I can think of why you would call that a cookie. And I get confused, and I've talked about this before, because Girl Scouts come to my door. I don't know why. It's the last place they should really go. Most people have little stickers in the window at the front door, you know, near the door. Beware of dog. I say beware of adult. Girl Scouts not permitted on the property. I don't want Girl Scouts coming up to my door. There's no reason for that. If you want to sell me cookies, stand out in front of a supermarket like everybody else who's collecting donations for their soccer team. Don't come to my house to sell me cookies. That's what websites do. But a few years ago, these two Girl Scouts, they travel in pairs for some reason. These Girl Scouts come to my door. I guess they lived in a neighborhood. I don't even know. Knocked on the door. Didn't use the doorbell. Knocked on the door. I opened the door, and I said, oh, geez, Girl Scouts. And they said, you have a problem with us? I said, yeah, I kind of do. You people solicit all the time. I mean, girls should not be soliciting. That's what I was taught when I was a child. So they said, we're raising money for a trip or something. I have no idea what the hell it was. And they said, would you be interested in cookies? And I said, you know, this is wrong. This is just wrong. How much are the cookies? And they said, oh, it's like $17 a box. I said, whoa, prices have gone up considerably. And I said, yeah, inflation, the whole bit. You know, the economy, the war in Ukraine, things like that. So I said, well, yeah, girls, you're very well versed in inflation, I must say. But to be honest with you, my doctor told me I had borderline diabetes. Actually, I have borderline everything. I don't have anything, but I'm right on the cusp of having every disease you can possibly think of, apparently, according to my doctor. But that's not your business, girls. I'm not interested in your Girl Scout cookies because they have a lot of sugar in them. Read the ingredients, girls. And I'm not interested. If you have sugar-free cookies, we can have a discussion. Beyond that, I'm sorry. And then they put on these pouts on their faces like they were so sad. It's like if I don't give them money for cookies, they're going to explode or something. Or implode, one or the other. Both results are horrible and would be mess all over my porch. So I said, girls, how about if I just donate a couple of bucks? I don't know. So now every time, and I gave them money and I shooed them away. I have a big fly swatter and I shoo people away, you know. The only people I'll let come to my door anymore are Federal Express, Amazon, and maybe the postal employee, maybe not. Amazon is always welcome because it's like Christmas. You always forget what you ordered. You always do. Every time there's a package from Amazon on your front step, what's your reaction? And don't lie to me. I know what your reaction is. Oh my God, what's this? It's like, and then you open it up and you're surprised. You go, oh, I did order this. Ooh, this should be fun. You ordered the damn thing 3 days ago. What's the problem with you? Amazon is like Santa Claus in a truck that you pay for. Well, Christmas, you pay for Christmas too. We tell our kids, you know, here's a gift from Santa that I worked hard for overtime in order for Santa to give you this gift. You know, it just gets crazy. I have no idea what I started talking about when the show began. Oh, cookies. Yes, I'm confused by this little pop-up thing. We use cookies, and then I'm supposed to accept them or decline them. I don't understand what I'm accepting or declining, though. I'll accept your cookies, I guess. I don't. Why would I not accept you? You can have a bowl of borscht or chicken noodle soup, or you can eat a donut. I don't care what you use on. Why are you asking me if it's okay if you use cookies? Strange. I always picture Oreos dancing at the bottom of the screen. I don't know. When I think of cookies, I think of Oreos, and I don't know why. Maybe it was the way I was brought up, poorly. We use cookies, by the way, here on this program. We use cookies, and we use a lot of other things that I think are illegal. But we use them. We're users. I can't get off of cookies, man. I'm into them. I'm a user. I'm hooked. We use cookies. I would actually decline that, by the way. You know, I don't know what cookies are. I think it's collecting information, storing it. I don't know what cookies are. I mean, I do know what cookies are, but I don't know what cookies are in that sense. I'm very intelligent, but with the same word, I can be very stupid. I have an interesting show today, most likely. I'm not too sure about it, but I think I do. You know, there's got to be something bigger than we are. And I'm not talking about weight-wise because that's questionable. We're talking about UFOs. I was brought up to be fascinated with unidentified flying objects. At that time, they weren't revealed. If you believed in UFOs and flying saucers, that was like, you're kind of crazy. Now it's like accepted. To the point where, yeah, so many people are seeing things in the sky that they can't explain, that perhaps there's really something to this. So today we're going to delve deep into this in a very fascinating way. We're going to do that right after this short commercial word, as we have a special extended interview today that I think you're going to really get off on this because we use cookies. We'll be right back after this tiny little spot.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructosey that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want Piggy Parts. I want Piggy Parts.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts are 100% all-natural salt-preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, One Professor Parker's preserved piggy part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original, barbecue, or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's preserved piggy parts.
Dr. J.C. Van Valkenburg is a Ph.D. and former Los Alamos National Lab biophysicist. And Deborah Provost is a former FBI special agent and forensic scientist. Oh, my God, I'm just a talk show host. You've got more credentials than I do. My God, that's wonderful. Okay, we're talking about a subject that has fascinated me since I was a child. And we're talking about these things in the sky that we can't identify. We don't know where they're from. We used to call them UFOs. We don't call them that anymore, do we?
No, we don't. UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomenon, is the term used now, and it's an apt description of what we're seeing.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that we're talking about flying saucers, which was, when I was growing up, the immediate connotation. Am I correct?
That's a very insightful comment.
Okay.
That's exactly right. Because what is being collected, whether it's photographically, video, interviews, is such this wide range of everything from unexplained lights, lights that come together, come apart, objects that are being photographed that don't appear to fit any of our known aircraft. I mean, it doesn't look like a drone. It's not a helicopter. It's not a bird. It's not an aircraft, an airplane. Things that are being photographed seem to deny our current knowledge of physics. So it just encompasses a lot of data, a lot of objects that are being seen, photographed, videotaped, that we don't currently know what category they fall into.
Let me ask you, all of a sudden, it seems that this is becoming an official investigation where maybe 5 years ago, this was either extremely secretive or not to be discussed or poo-pooed. Now it's serious all of a sudden. What happened?
Well, that was one thing that we really wanted to establish with the Genesis 2 project, you know, was that there was all of this data being collected worldwide, and it was just increasing in frequency, just exponentially increasing. Sightings are happening every day, night and day, and all over the world, really. And at this point, we really thought, you know, there's something going on here, and that's what science is. There's something that you don't know, but you're seeing patterns. You're seeing that something is happening, and you just want to find out what it is. And in order to really look at something, you have to use the scientific method. You have to systematically gather the information. You have to systematically analyze the information. And really, in that aspect, we needed to put something together to make it a serious scientific study and not something that people were curious about but ashamed to come forward and research or to really talk about in a serious manner. And that itself thwarts the serious scientific study and actually getting findings that can help people. And so what we wanted to do was we really wanted to set this up. We recognized that this was happening, that the data was out there. And how do you set up to make it a serious scientific topic? And you really just, you get scientists together, you become very transparent in what you're doing, and you become very consistent with your approach. This is a serious scientific study. Everyone involved is a serious scientist. Everyone is looking at this from the same aspect and looking at it seriously, not being ashamed at what they're looking at, because you're not making any preconceived notions about what you're going to find. You're just saying, this is unknown, and let's look at it and let's see, is there anything there that we can learn from?
That must be the most difficult, as to be incredibly impartial. It's kind of like a jury or something like that. I mean, is that difficult at a point? Do opinions get involved?
I would say no. I mean, we've been incredibly fortunate because we're bringing on different scientific backgrounds, whether it's like forensic science, whether it's physicists, people that are engineers. And there hasn't been the preconceived notion. And what's really interesting is that we're getting such a wide variety of data. It's not like we're seeing a million photographs and they all sit, they're all the same photograph of the same type of image. We're getting such a variety of unidentified aerial phenomenon shapes, sizes, their capabilities, whether it's floating orbs, lights, things that come together, come apart, things that tumble. And you're like, well, what kind of thing moves through the air in a tumbling fashion? That seems to defy what we understand from physics and aerodynamics. So it hasn't been that. To Jennifer's point earlier, and to yours, it's like, it's interesting that in 2020, the U.S. government started a UAP task force. And then in 2021, DOD set up a group that's supposed to be monitoring airborne identification and management of UAPs. And I think that the U.S. government is getting out and doing this now because so many photographs are being, images are being captured of UAPs around the world. You can no longer say it's some crazy farmer with a Polaroid in a fuzzy image.
Right.
It's like professional pilots, military pilots, people with cell phones. So it's an interesting time to be looking at this from a scientific perspective.
Photography and video, actually film before that, was so imperfect that it was difficult to make out what these things were. Now I imagine with the technology, we can be a bit more definitive. I assume that made a big difference, both in evidence and in analysis.
Well, you are correct. You know, the technology that's out there, even to the point of the technology that's in our hands every day as the general public, including, you know, iPhones, the technology for capturing images and video now is just so advanced compared to what we used to have, like you said, with the Polaroids. Really, what we used to have was just things that took a single still shot. And at that point, you know, it was just luck if you ever captured anything that you just didn't know what it was. And then it was a still shot, which means it was just a static image. And so you really had nothing beyond the person's word to say if they saw it. A lot of times they didn't even see it. They just noticed it after the fact. So then they couldn't even say like what the pattern was, what it looked like as it was flying, as Deb had mentioned earlier. Was it tumbling? Was it going in a straight line? Was it doing a 90-degree angle? And now with the technology that's out there, just even the simplest technology that's available to all of us, you can have a video of something. And at that point, even with like live images on the iPhone, for example, those are about 3 seconds. And so you can see these things moving, and then you can study the pattern. So really, all this advanced technology is just giving us such a massive data that we can actually do a little bit deeper analysis in saying, what is this and what is this telling us about what it is?
Is it as night and day as a final conclusion, which will probably never come, as to the cosmos, the universe is infinite. There's got to be something else that makes sense, that we're not alone. Or is it the other side, where there's so much aerial phenomenon in the sense of weather and satellite debris and all this, where everything really can be explained? Do you tend to go one way or the other in a direction?
You know, I think that's very interesting, because I don't doubt that if you go through thousands of photographs, you will have the ability to isolate some and say, that's a weather balloon.
Right.
That's a drone. That's a military aircraft. Mm-hmm. But what I am saying is that we have, gosh, tens of thousands of photographs in our database. And for the vast majority of them, no one has been able to isolate them as being something that we could explain, right, which is thus the UAP.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, if the U.S. government and our military could identify them and say, oh, well, yeah, that was a weather balloon, or no, that was a squadron flying at dark, whatever, then they wouldn't have started a UAP task force. So I'd say that the evidence is saying that there are a lot of things out there that currently don't match any of our known aircraft,
right,
and that there's a reason.
Yeah.
And it would be wonderful to be able to figure them out, but I think that you said something that was very critical, which is there's a lot of stuff that maybe we won't within our lifetime be able to figure this out. But that's also how science works. It builds upon information. It builds upon each other's studies. And over time, we come to the conclusions.
It's almost that, you know, I think I'm a little older than the both of you. I don't know how much, though. I got the idea that the government didn't want us to know anything because they knew more than we did. And if the public knew about it, there'd be panic. That War of the Worlds thing, like, was very prominent for decades and decades after the presentation on the radio. I always thought that was the concern. And that's why I asked earlier why all of a sudden this comes out into the open, perhaps that we feel that it became so insurmountable that we had to start studying.
That, you know, that's my take on it, that the reason that the U.S. government came out in 2020 and 2021 with these new government-sponsored programs looking into unidentified aerial phenomenon is because you really can't deny shame people into, like, you know, if this was a top-secret project, we don't want to even know about it.
Right.
But, I mean, now there's... If there was 7,000 documented sightings in 2020 of unidentified aerial phenomenon, how can the U.S. government or other governments around the world come out and say, oh, no, it's all of them were weather balloons? So I think the government just saw that this was the opportunity that they can no longer deny that these things exist.
Right.
And do you want to be behind the story or in front of the story?
Yeah.
And so they've released their own video. They're now allowing pilots to talk about what they saw. And so it's a good time to be investigating what these things are.
Fascinating stuff. Has this changed or your openness or your opinion over time? You mentioned that there's insurmountable evidence of something going on. That in itself is a revelation, isn't it?
You know, I'll take this one too, because when Jennifer and I years ago started looking at this massive data, one of my takeaways was that we weren't going, oh my God. It was just like, oh wow, look at that.
Uh-huh.
And then look at that. And then look at that. And I think one of the biggest takeaways is that we're not having the response of the world, you know, the War of the Worlds. We're not panicking.
Right.
And I mean, all over the world, people are taking photographs and saying, oh my gosh, what is that in my photograph? They're not saying we're being invaded by aliens. And going back to what Jennifer said, if these things have been visualized and seen by people back dating to whoever did the petroglyphs in New Mexico and elsewhere around the world, then they've been around for a long time. They haven't invaded. They haven't attacked. We don't know what they are.
Yeah.
This isn't a new phenomenon. They just didn't appear today. So I think it's... again, a very good time to try to figure out what they are.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I understand, and it seems to me that it's always been we're working on aerial situations for defense purposes, and so are other countries. So that's why nobody was talking about it, because we're developing things and we don't want anybody to know that Area 51 thing. I still don't know what the hell's going on over there. Are you open? Do they even give you information about that area?
No, we have not been. That's beyond the scope of what we're doing.
Mm.
So we're really looking at amassing new data, amassing data from around the world, amassing data from hotspots, and just really getting an idea of what is happening on a daily basis. What are people seeing? What are the patterns in this, from shape to just even substance of them to their patterns of movement? And then also overlaying with what the government is releasing their information about their latest technologies. You know, you mm-hmm. brought up a good point with the with everything that governments around the world are studying and developing for the aerospace industry. You know, that there are all kinds of new advanced technologies coming out. And then really looking at that information, overlaying it with this information that we're getting from around the world of seeing these things that are unidentified, and then saying, like, could this be that? And yes, some of it we have been able to rule out, and we have been able to say, oh, this is that new technology that mm-hmm. just got released by, for example, by the U.S. military news mm-hmm. agencies. And this is not, this is a UAP to us because we don't know anything about it. But now that they've released the information, we can say that this is very similar to that. And again, then that opens the idea for our scientists of mm-hmm. there's things that we can learn from this. If we are seeing UAP that are flying in a manner that is, say, against our physics, then where does that fit? How can we reverse engineer that into something that could benefit society, benefit our national security in a whole different way?
I understand that your investigations are reported to the Select Committee on Intelligence. Marco Rubio, vice chair of the intelligence, which is oxymoron, but anyway. So that is an actual connection that you do have to the government in your research. Is that correct?
Right now we're reporting our information to a lot of different agencies mm-hmm. and we're just being very transparent. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
We are not doing anything, formally for any of the agencies. Uh-huh. We do not have any connections that are specific an agency.
Oh, okay.
No, we are being very transparent with our information
mm-hmm.
because those lines of communication do tend to have boundaries within them. And we really want to keep this in a very transparent manner. We want to make sure that the public hears everything and knows that this is a serious scientific study. There's nothing wonky going on behind the scenes. There's nothing being hidden. You know, we are really just amassing data, amassing scientists,
right.
getting people to start looking at this from a very scientific standpoint and really shedding all of the misconceptions and preconceived notions that have plagued this study for so long.
Yes, yes. In my notes here, the question is, why have you reached out to the current three big thinkers? And I don't know if that's actually the case, but Branson, Bezos, and Musk, who to me are commercial entities. But I guess the question is, have you reached out to them? I don't know why, but.
Well, you know, last year we were reaching out to many, many different people.
Mm-hmm.
And we really just wanted to see where everyone's interest lay.
Yes.
And where they might want to collaborate with us to really promote this idea of mm-hmm. looking at UAP from a very serious scientific standpoint. And like we were saying earlier, we've gotten interest from governments. We've gotten interest from a lot of the U.S. government entities.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we're not aligning ourselves with anyone in particular.
Right,
we're really just moving forward with this idea of who is interested and who wants to look at this seriously.
Right.
You know, we want to make sure that everyone that comes in to work with us is looking at this from a serious scientific standpoint, that they all will follow the scientific
right.
method. Yeah, and so really that's where our focus has been, and just with keeping with transparency.
I love the fact that you're not aligned to anything, and I love the fact that you're doing transparency and all of that, and not taking on the people that have certain agendas and such. That's excellent. I wish everything ran in the same frame of mind as what you're doing in many different facets. All right.
Well, yeah, science is always interesting, and science does well when you have a multidisciplinary team
uh-huh.
because that's when you have people crossing disciplines, talking to one another, and really coming at it from a very innovative standpoint with ideas that are kind of outside the box.
Excellent.
You know, and saying, well, here's what I see, here's what, and then having the next person who's an expert in an entirely different field say, oh, well, that's interesting. It could be this.
Yes.
You know, and then there's no, like, because we're all coming from, we have engineers, we have physicists, we have digital scientists that work on, you know, the inner workings of the devices that we're actually using, and to record these things, and also to look at some of their patterns, such as their temperature, their speed, you know. And at that point, when you have all these different people in all of these different fields, then when one person says something, the rest of the group isn't coming in and saying, oh yeah, because I was taught this. Right. You know, it's a whole new base of knowledge for every single person that's in the room looking at this data. And then they're saying, oh, wow, I just learned something new. How can I apply that to my expertise and push this project forward?
Perfect. How does one get more information? Because definitely this is one of the most interesting conversations one can have.
So we have a website, and it's www.genesis2project.com. Mm-hmm. We are very selective in the information that we release, because we don't ever release information before it has been fully vetted, mm-hmm. because there is so much information out there. And we are doing analysis to make sure that everything is bona fide that we release. It has gone through digital forensic analysis. So we are very slow in releasing information, mm-hmm. but we do consistently release updates on our progress.
Perfect.
And on that website, they will also find that there's an email that they can contact us at, and that's knowledge@genesis2project.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you to the both of you for what you do, and thank you for your time today. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Thank you to my guests. That was fascinating. Until tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, I wish you peace.